It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents were in West Virginia last week conducting, quote, targeted enforcement operations. Some residents are not happy about it. We'll have that story in just a minute. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Vermont Senator and Democratic presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders will visit Kentucky and West Virginia just days after releasing his plan to address climate change. As Brittany Patterson reports, Sanders' climate plan includes resources to assist displaced coal miners.
Like many Democratic candidates, Sanders says climate change is the greatest threat facing America, and he supports a Green New Deal to move the country from fossil fuels to renewable energy by 2030. The plan calls for trillions of dollars in investment and claims millions of jobs would be created while solving the climate crisis. But it also prioritizes help for those who worked in fossil fuel industries, such as coal miners, who would be displaced by that transition. Sanders' plan would provide up to 5 years of unemployment insurance for displaced workers and guarantee new jobs would pay comparable wages. Displaced miners would be eligible for housing assistance, job training, and health care. Sanders is not the first candidate to outline ways to address the needs of coal-impacted communities as the country shifts away from fossil fuels. That's a good thing, says retired coal miner and energy transition activist Carl Shoup.
We're just excited that people are talking about this just transition.
Sanders' plan faces opposition from both the mining industry and labor. The head of the United Mine Workers calls its goals almost impossible. Sanders is scheduled to address crowds in Louisville, Kentucky on Sunday and Morgantown, West Virginia Monday. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson.
Last week, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency conducted operations in the Morgantown area and possibly elsewhere in the state. As of now, the details of those operations remain mostly unknown. Senior reporter Dave Mistich is following immigration enforcement activity in the state and the community's reaction to it. He brings us this report.
During this week's regular Morgantown City Council meeting, Police Chief Ed Preston briefly outlined how his department was alerted ICE operations were about to take place.
They gave us notification to local law enforcement as a courtesy only, not just to us, but to West Virginia University, the Sheriff's Office and the surrounding areas, as well as the Emergency Management Office.
Although city and county law enforcement agencies were notified ahead of time, Preston says those agencies did not assist in the operations.
No personnel from the police department or from any municipal or county law enforcement agency participated in any of their operations as far as I know of, but I know for a fact that nobody from the Morgantown Police Department assisted in any way, nor was present. The department does not know where they were, nor why they were in any particular areas.
While questions remain about the specifics of where these operations took place and what charges will be brought against those who were detained, many in the Morgantown area have spoken out against the activity. Morgantown resident Alyssa Ponzurek attended Tuesday's city council meeting, hoping to spur action from local officials.
They're being ripped out of their beds at night. These people are kicking in their doors. What are we going to do about it? And I want an answer, because if we're going to stand by idly here as our fellow neighbors are ripped out of their beds at night and go on as if life just is normal, then I have a real problem living here.
Officials from ICE have not responded to repeated requests for interviews and have denied permission to interview those detained. In emails with West Virginia Public Broadcasting, they called last week's activity in the area, quote, routine targeted enforcement operations. But they provided no details on how, when, where, or why these operations took place. But we do know a few details about who was detained and where they've been sent. According to information provided by the State Department of Military Affairs and Public Safety, 15 people, most of whom are originally from Mexico, were booked last week on ICE-related charges. We don't know why they were arrested or where those arrests occurred. ICE's online detainee locator system showed on Tuesday that many of them were transferred to a federal detention center in Cambria County, Pennsylvania. By Thursday, that system showed no information on any of those we've identified as a detainee. Joseph Cohen is the director of the ACLU of West Virginia. He and his organization have been following ICE's recent activity. He expressed some frustration about the lack of information.
We're still learning about what happened last week. We've been in contact with folks who are in contact with people who have been detained by ICE. There's still a lot to learn. I have a lot of questions about what happened last week, but this is an ongoing problem. It's not just what happened in West Virginia in the last few days.
But Cohen says that the recent flurry of ICE activity is a part of a larger trend here, where clusters of operations and arrests occur from time to time.
ICE operates in West Virginia all the time. There aren't great numbers on state-by-state arrest data by ICE, but by the best numbers we can find, West Virginia appears to be, given the tiny population of the state, per capita, the place where the highest number of ICE arrests happen in the United States.
Cohen says the ACLU of West Virginia ascertained that fact by taking data collected by Syracuse University's Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse and cross-referencing it with an analysis from the Pew Research Center. That analysis shows West Virginia's undocumented immigrant population is less than 5,000 people. With so few undocumented immigrants and ICE operating secretly and not providing details on the arrests, the reaction to such activity in West Virginia often causes a panic. Allison Peck is the director of the WVU College of Law's Immigration Clinic. She says her office has gotten calls about ICE's recent activity.
I have also been hearing a lot of concerned members of the community. Some have contacted us, some we've heard of by word of mouth. And, you know, as a member of the community, as a citizen, I feel concerned that that people aren't confident that they know what their rights are, aren't confident that they know what's coming.
Peck says anyone approached by ICE agents does not have to answer questions and can exercise their right to remain silent. She says anyone detained who is afraid of returning to their home country can ask for an asylum review process. Those who have been in the United States continuously for 2 years can show documents to an ICE officer to avoid being potentially subject to expedited removal. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich in Morgantown.
The West Virginia Department of Transportation has released an all-new interactive online map that shows every current road project across the state for both primary roads and secondary. Liz McCormick has more.
This new interactive map provides real-time statistics on how much road work has been completed across a variety of categories, including Governor Jim Justice's Secondary Roads Maintenance Initiative and the Roads to Prosperity Program. Secretary of Transportation Bird White said in a press release, the map was created in an effort to be transparent with the public about road issues. Road problems, specifically on secondary roads, were the focus of heated discussion and contention during the regular 2019 state legislative session. Since then, the West Virginia DOT has released lists for each county showing all secondary road projects. The new interactive map displays all road projects for 2019, including projects that are underway, those about to be started, and those completed. To date, more than 30,000 miles of projects have been completed, including ditching, patching, and paving. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick.
To see the West Virginia Department of Transportation's new interactive map, visit our website at wvpublic.org. Singer and songwriter Gretchen Peters has made 5 appearances on Mountain Stage since 1996. A widely covered songwriter, Peters' songs have been recorded by Martina McBride, Shania Twain, Bryan Adams, and many others. Her song, Say Grace, has been chosen as our Song of the Week, a track that appears on her latest collection of original songs, Dancing with the Beast.
Our Lady of the Busty Bowl is holding forth tonight. Her body, it is wasted, but her eyes are shining bright. And our Father, who art slightly drunk, is warding off the shakes. And he staggers underneath the weight of the promises he made. say grace. Say grace. Forgive yourself for all your mistakes. You can start all over if that's what it takes. Just come inside and set yourself a place and say grace. We are gathered here together to praise His holy name in a shelter by the Greyhound station down on Fifth and Main. And as to who we're praying to, there run two schools of thought: a benevolent provider or an unforgiving God. Say grace. Say grace. Forgive yourself for all your mistakes. You might find salvation in your neighbor's face. Come inside and set yourself a place and say grace. The TV in the corner screaming, "You're not welcome here." And on a poster in the waiting room, she greets the tired and poor. Our Lady of the Harbor stands beside a golden door. Say grace. Say grace. Forgive yourself for all your mistakes. You are not a loser. You are not a hopeless case. Just come inside and set yourself a place and say grace. Come inside and set yourself a place and say grace.
That was Gretchen Peters with Say Grace, live on Mountain Stage. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from CAMC and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.